rejected by Elizabeth Simon. Chapter 1. Puerto Cabezas, Nicaragua. My stomach growled as I dug through a heaping trash pile in desperation. I hadn't eaten in 2 days, and the smell of rotting vegetables and moldy banana peels attacked my nose. My long hair fell into my face. I pushed it back behind my ears as I picked through the crumpled up food wrappers. Flies buzzed past my ears mocking me, and I swatted them away. This cafe was my first choice for leftovers. Most nights I could find a half-eaten tamal tossed out by a tourist or sailor. Midnight approached, and the full moon cast dark shadows over the spooky alleyway. I wanted to hurry home, but I didn't want to go empty-handed. Papa died over a year ago. Before he died, he came home in the evenings from working at the dock, his face red and weariness showing in his eyes. He would sit down, clutching his shirt. Mama would run to him, saying something about his health, and then one day he never returned home. I didn't see Mama smile again after that day. Papa's strong arms would never hold me again. Mama said he lives in my eyes and my smile, and that my big heart held his memory. But memories don't bring home dinner like Papa used to. Now, at 9 years old, I had to find our food. I helped because Mama took care of my baby brother Jose in our tiny one-room shack farther in town. Mama needed the most, since she still fed Jose with her milk. I was too big for that now. The last 2 nights, I found a half-eaten quesilla in this cafe dumpster and brought it home. It wasn't enough for both of us, so I told Mama I'd already eaten. That way she and Jose could have it. I hoped today's search would be better. A crash sounded at the far end of the alley. Fear shot through me, and I pressed my thin body against the cold concrete wall, shrinking into the shadows. A tall man dug through the heaps of trash. I assumed he was trying to find his dinner, too. He was stick-thin, but his belly stuck out like the bottom of a bowl. He must have found some food to fill his belly. I would try his spot once he left. I hid in the shadows, watching and counting the minutes to myself as I waited. It took nearly 30 minutes before he moved on. Nothing worth bringing home was left in the scattered heaps of trash strewn about. So I headed toward the motel where the tourists stayed. I squinted through the darkness to see if the coast was clear. The dark nights could be dangerous for a girl to be alone if I wasn't careful. Last week, Mama told me about some kids going missing near the docks. A Brill from my class at school hadn't been back since that day. I hugged the shadows and crept down the street toward the hotel, scurrying like a rat between buildings. If I didn't find food and head home soon, Mama would be worried. I reached the motel and headed for the back alley where a kitchen filled the backside of the motel. It was one of the biggest motels in the city, big and so close to the beach that its pretty lights shone off the waves at night. I rounded the corner and saw a pile of garbage. It was glorious, so many bags packed with rotting food. The smell of the old fruit, moldy vegetables, and rotting meat filled the air. There would be plenty to feed me and Mama here. I raced to the bags and heaved them around, searching for ones with food smashed against the sheer plastic. I shoved one bag and it rolled, knocking over a tin garbage can. It clanged as it toppled to the pavement. I jumped and grimaced, hoping it hadn't been heard. The back door of the restaurant banged open, and a plump man ran out, yelling in Spanish. He wore an apron smattered with food stains, and it made my mouth water. "Salya de aquí, rata," he said. "Sally." He called me an animal, but he ran at me with his teeth bared like a wild boar. He screamed at me again to go away. I ran back around the corner toward the front of the motel and smacked into a woman. The woman wore nice clothes, so different from my brown, dirt-stained rags, which barely held together. Soft hands landed on my shoulders, and I looked at her. She batted her long eyelashes at me and flipped her dark hair behind her back. She didn't seem disgusted as most people did when they saw my filth. She smiled at me with pity. There was something behind her smile I couldn't quite understand. "Hello, sweetie," she said in Spanish. Her voice dripped with sweetness, too much sweetness. "Isn't it a little late for you to be out wandering the streets?" I stared up at her. I didn't know her, and she made me feel uncomfortable. She took a puff of a cigarette and looked me up and down with a glint in her eye. I glanced around for a way to escape her. She blocked my way, and I couldn't go back since the man was still shouting at me from behind the motel. I didn't know what to do or how to get around her, so I said, "Excuse me, I think I'll go home now." "She speaks," the woman said, drawing her hand to her mouth with mock shock. She smiled. "Are you hungry, dear?" I nodded. My stomach growled in response as if it heard her speaking. She waved her hand toward the door, leading me on. It might have been my tummy doing the walking when I followed her. I was so hungry. She led the way toward the motel lobby. I paused at the door, feeling too ashamed to enter. It was much nicer than any place I had been to. "I shouldn't go in there. I'm going home." "Nonsense," she said, turning to me. "I'll buy you a nice dinner, and you can bring the leftovers home with you." She waved at me again to follow her as she walked into the lobby. The click of her high heels echoed against the tile floor. I hesitated, but she seemed nice enough. She must be a tourist, so maybe she felt sorry for me. I had heard of such things. The lobby was painted in reds and yellows, and four chairs sat in a circle to the right. A simple opening in the far wall revealed an old man sleeping in a folding chair behind the counter. "Excuse me, is the kitchen closed?" the woman asked. The man grunted and woke up. He was thin and looked unkempt, much like the man I saw scrounging for food in the trash. He waved her off and growled, "Room service only." "Even better," she exclaimed to no one in particular, with glee in her voice. What was making her so happy? She turned to me and said, "You can come to my room and I'll order some food." It was getting late, though. Mama would start to worry if I didn't return soon. The latest I had been out was 2 a.m., and it was still a 30-minute walk home. I bit my lip and thought about leaving, but only for a moment. My tummy won again. I followed her up a staircase. "The rooms aren't super nice," she said, "but they're nice enough. The food is good." I wasn't paying much attention to what she said, as I fought inside about going with her or returning home empty-handed. "I just came in on one of the ships yesterday, but I won't be staying long." "I leave tomorrow morning," she said. The doors to the rooms lined the outside corridor. She went down a long concrete walkway and stopped at the last door. Unlocking it with her key, she pushed it open with her bottom, leaving it wide for me to enter. She smiled and waved me in. I inched into the room. It was bigger than our entire house. A large metal box by the window blew cool air into the heat and humidity of the night, soothing my sweaty skin. A single table stood in between two beds with a phone sitting on top of it. The table was bigger than our only table at home. The phone was like one the principal in my school used. A fancy bathroom appeared through another door. A bathroom with running water. Our house didn't have any running water. I fetched water from a well down the street every morning, and we peed and pooped in a hole in the small backyard. The two beds were so big, one of them could fit my entire family. Clean white blankets that smelled like wildflowers covered the beds, along with pillows that felt like giant clouds. We didn't even have a bed in our house. We slept on blankets on the dirt floor. I had never seen a place so fancy in all my life. I skimmed the bedsheets with my finger. They felt so soft, so inviting. I imagined curling up and going to sleep on top of the soft mattress. I almost forgot my hunger. Almost. My tummy hadn't, though, and it roared, reminding me I hadn't eaten in 2 days. The strange woman picked up the phone and ordered food. "We'll have a little of everything on the menu." The woman continued to chatter away about this and that and waved at the bed, urging me to climb up. Feeling embarrassed and fearful, I paused and looked at her. She smiled and nodded toward the bed, inviting me on. I climbed on the bed, leaving dirty streaks on the white cotton where my clothes touched, and propped myself up on the pillows. They were soft, like a stuffed animal, but for your head. I pressed my face into one of the pillows, and it didn't scratch or poke. It hugged me back. I didn't even know you could sleep with something so soft under your head. At home, I used my arm or a rolled-up shirt. I felt like a princess. Nothing I knew was as comfortable as this bed. I closed my eyes, content and amazed at my luck. I wasn't still scrounging around in trash heaps in the heat and humidity, but was comfortable in the soft, cool motel bed. It didn't take long for the food to come. Someone rapped on the door, and the woman opened it to a young man carrying a tray. She took it from him and placed it on the table next to the phone. The smells of the earthy steamed banana leaf and smoky gallo pinto filled the room. I rubbed my eyes and stared in awe. It was a feast. Gallo pinto, nacatamal, vigoron. The woman invited me to eat, and I dug in, stuffing food into my mouth with my hands, trying to appease my hungry belly. The flavors mixed in my mouth. Salty, garlicky, tangy, nutty. She watched me, not eating. Maybe she was waiting for me to finish before she started. I didn't know. I didn't care. I ate the fresh, delicious food, not leftover scraps from the trash. It didn't take long for me to eat so much I almost made myself sick. There were plenty of leftovers to take home to Mama, and she would have her fill too. But maybe Mama could wait a minute. I needed a little rest. My tummy was so full, I couldn't think straight. My tired body was so heavy as I sank into the soft pillows, yawning. My eyes fluttered, shutting out the room around me. I could take the leftovers home to Mama after a short little nap. When I woke up, I was no longer on the soft princess bed. I wasn't even on my dirt floor at home. I was on a hard surface in a dark room. The room was moving back and forth like it was swaying in the wind or on the sea.